He is all-star in this league. Scottie Barnes, he's all-star in this league. How in 48 minutes he go to basket, he attack basket, and he only get two free throws. It no make sense, okay? You see, Lakers, they get 23 free throws. They are bloody flopping. I tell my players, don't flop. I tell my players, be professional. And what happened? We get no free throw. It's not just the first time this happened. It's been happening for 4 or 5 games. It's bloody disgrace.
And just like that, Darko Rajovic went from, who is this strange European guy who loves to play 0.5 second offense, to Raptors cult legend, as has the front office, who, as you know, as you heard in the last episode, with the trade of RJ Barrett and Emmanuel Quickly, bringing them in to this team, bringing them into the young core, have completely, within the space of a week, seemed to transform the mood of Raptors fans and analysts everywhere. Varal, we ended 2023 on a very low note. The last few podcasts were, how do we even describe them? Dulcet, depressing, more words beginning with D, and I'm not just saying that because of Darko. But as the clock struck midnight, could you sense something magic was happening in the Toronto organization?
It's a great question, Kamel. I mean, the trade. When I first saw it happen, I think we discussed it in a previous episode, so I won't lark on it too much. But when I saw it initially, I was really disappointed. I thought, we're not getting any first round picks for OG. And despite Quickly, he's looked good for the Knicks, but of course he hasn't been able to start for them with, they've already got an all-star guard in that team, so they wanted him off the bench. And then Barrett's really had his ups and downs for the Knicks, and I think everyone's well aware of that. A certain degree of inefficiency and a lack of consistency, despite periods last year where he did show flashes of potentially having all-star potential. So I was a bit quizzical about it all, but I don't think Barrett's going to keep up how he's been playing for the rest of the season, because he's been shooting above 50% from three, to be honest, it's a flash in the pan. I expect him to come back to probably around like 35%. He's looked phenomenal in the fast break, which I expect to continue. And that will mean that we continue to be the best fast break team in the league. But it's more than just these two players. The offense just seems to make sense. There's so much ball movement. We just have an offensive identity. I've said it in previous episode as well, even with OG on the team, but I think it's really, really been highlighted in the past two games. We even had Pascal out in the Clippers game recently, and we looked so competitive. We were playing probably the informed team in the league, in the Clippers, and we paid them right to the wire until like the last 4 or 5 minutes when they pulled away slightly. But it was so back and forth all game, and the Clippers were completely healthy and they looked brilliant in that game, and we just matched them tit for tap. So
which is a schedule lock, right?
Sorry, I didn't quite catch that.
We were on the second night of a back-to-back
so proceeds there as well. Exactly, yeah.
But no, you're completely right. And I want to give some stats. Raptors offense in the last 15 games. So this is after really, really struggling in the early season. They're seventh in terms of offensive rating in the entire league. They got the fifth best half-court offense. Whoever thought we'd say that?
No. Is that right?
Yes. The fifth best half-court offense since December 8th.
I've seen it in my lifetime. I can't believe it.
You can't. And you know what? It's down to the fact that they are second in assists in the last 15 games. They're averaging almost 32 assists a game. This is Darko ball. And what does that mean? Now, we know the Raptors don't have shooters, but you've got to make it as easy for them as you can. And in the last 15 games, on their three-point attempts, they've been open or wide open on 93.5% of them.
That's incredible, yeah.
I mean, this is a transformed offense. And I think when we talk about we saw flashes in the pan of this sort of play style early on in the season, but it wasn't working because the players weren't correct for it. But then you bring in Emmanuel Quickly And for me, I want to highlight him in particular. I think maybe you can go into RJ later. But for Emmanuel, he's also unlocked Jakob Poeltl. And a lot of people was questioning the Jakob Poeltl trade. And in fact, he wasn't getting too many minutes but early in the season. But that sort of pick and roll offense is now just back wide open. And you've seen Jakob thrive ever since that trade. And it's no coincidence. Talk to me more about RJ, man. I mean, what's he bringing? I did the last episode solo and I said maybe he's a bit like, you know, a Gary Trent and Andrew Wiggins, a kind of very streaky player, but he's proven to be a little bit more than that so far.
I definitely wouldn't compare them to those two players in terms of play style. I understand where you're coming from in terms of, yeah, levels of consistency.
One of the things after the OG trade, what people said was, look, OG's much better at the rim than RJ. RJ's decent at the rim, but OG, for his career, has been phenomenal at the rim. I think it was like 70% or something. And this season, it was even higher. I think it was like 75%. It was something ludicrous at the rim this season. And he's also a better three-point shooter than RJ. And he just tends to take better shots than RJ Barrett. So some of his earlier career struggles, RJ Barrett, he was just living in the mid-range too much, for example. But he just had a level of measure and control. I've said in the fast break, he just looks phenomenal. Like, he makes it, he just slows down. He doesn't run too quickly. He just slows down and lays it with his left hand at the rim, just takes his time. Or if that option isn't open, he just kicks out to a three-point shooter. And he did that quite a few times in the Lakers game. I think he found quickly a couple of times like that. And one or two of those were like cross-court passes, which again were unheard of in this Toronto Raptors offense as of recently. So he's just looked phenomenal, to be honest. Long may it continue. I hope it continues. I think the three-point shooting will drop off a bit, but the three-point shots he made were wide open, like you said. So many of our three-point shots have been wide open in the last few games. So I suppose if it continues within the flow of that offense, then I don't see why it can't be, let's say, closer to the 40% mark, which he's never really been anywhere near that during his career. But maybe he does have that sort of touch when he's getting good quality three-point shots. Of course, he did get it to an extent with Jalen Brunson, but that team is still they clog the paint a lot with, obviously, you've got Randall there, and then you've got Mitchell Robinson in the paint as well. That is not a very spread out offense. I just can't speak highly enough of him. And it's this trade so far is looking like analysts have been calling it a win-win trade so far. And I think, yeah, with how RJ's been playing, he's been a big reason for that. Maybe you can discuss what you've seen from quickly so far and what's impressed you the most about his play style.
Well, I think the main thing is, and you mentioned RJ Barrett, obviously he might fall off, and you've got to realize these guys are 23 and 24, Barrett and quickly. They're young guys, they're part of the young core, but they're going to be a little inconsistent over the next couple of years. But quickly already seems to have that winning gene. I mean, he wrote a beautiful Players Tribune article that came out today, which talked about time at the Knicks and his time and his love of the initial love of the culture in Toronto. And you can see he's really bought in to Darko's play style, but he's maintained that kind of little bit of hero ball that we like, you know, the ability, the desire to be the guy who takes that final shot.
Yeah.
Because early on, you know, it was all down to Scotty, and you're not going to expect, I mean, Scotty, what, third year? Like, I know he's an all-star caliber, as we heard from Darko at the start of the podcast.
The start of the episode, yeah. Thanks for the guest appearance, Darko.
You can't just rely on him to take that last shot. You need a shifty guard like quickly to do so. And, you know, we mentioned before about the unlocking Poeltl for the pick and roll. When in the last podcast, we did note that quickly wasn't, you know, an assist first player. No. He only averaged 2.4 assists this season at the Knicks, but I mean, he's improved those numbers already and he fits in the system really well. And I think another benefit of that, it has allowed Dennis Schroeder to move to the bench. And so that second unit now, whereas it looked really disorganized earlier in the season and like it had no leader, actually has a very sensible coordinator who plays not well, fairly safe, fairly, you know, that kind of pass first basketball that can unlock the likes of Gary Trent, that can help the likes of, and we'll go into Jontay Porter a little bit later. But, you know, just bringing in those two players has automatically strengthened that second unit. You know, gone are Malachi and Precious, and suddenly you've got Schroeder and Gary Trent in that second unit. Yeah, so that's a big
No, it's a really good point, Kamel. And I think most Raptors fans, knowing the kind of player he was, would have expected quickly to probably to come off the bench like he did for New York. Because you think to yourself, fire starter, ball handler, who, again, yeah, he's not known for facilitating the offense up till now in his career. But I think the reason why he is starting is because we want to develop those traits in him. Because, again, yeah, we've reset our timeline now. So we are looking to build around a young core. And so we can afford for him to make some mistakes. And really, who do you want starting? Dennis Schroeder is now, 31, 32 years old. He's not really going to develop, is he, up till now? And we're not... We're clearly no longer looking to compete for a title. Okay, maybe we're looking to compete for a playing spot, but that you don't want to do that. You don't want to be the Washington Wizards of the NBA. With quickly come out, I do see sometimes, especially because his quick step, his first step is so quick, pardon the pun, but that he'll often get into the paint and he does get... He just focuses a bit too much on the basket and he only sees, I would say, passes that are immediately next to him. He's still not capable of, say, looking cross court after he makes it into the paint and then making the cross court pass. He did that quite a few times against the Lakers. It was three or four times where a more experienced facilitator would have looked for the kick out, but he kind of got stuck in the paint. He wasn't allowed to develop that skill set in New York. So I just want to let him make those mistakes. Just let him keep doing that here. Of course, we have Barnes helping him in terms of the facilitation aspect. So, I think I am happy with him starting and with Schroeder coming off the bench.
Well, tell me something about this play-in spot. And I'm sorry, I'm going to make you... going to bring down the mood of this podcast a little bit with the fact that, do we keep Pascal Siakam because he's clearly not on the same timeline as these, well, can we call it the big three in terms of quickly Barnes and Barrett? Pascal Siakam, of course, will probably drive, keeping him or extending him now will probably drive the Raptors towards the play-in or a low playoff spot. Is that the right decision?
What do you think, Kim? What do you think I think?
Well, you've got to be sensible. I mean, Siakam, obviously, he knows the franchise. He was a 27th pick in the first round. Toronto isn't a massive... So I want to make this point whenever it says Toronto should, you know, trade away their stars for picks or trade away their stars and, you know, hope to land a big free agent in the future. With the exception of Kawhi, Toronto doesn't attract big free agents. Still, at this point, it doesn't, even after it's won a championship. We saw that, you know, with Masai's failure to get Giannis, etc. It's a very tough franchise to kind of run in that way. And so when you've got a gem like Siakam, who, you know, all-star and will continue to be an all-star for the next 4 or 5 years, why would you trade that away for, you know, someone who could then be as good as Siakam? And I know maybe it doesn't run the right timeline, but I think extension is probably the best way to go. And I think you think the same way.
Absolutely not. And that, you know what, that was a very coherently put argument. And on the surface, you think, it's quite hard to disagree with that, especially that free agent point, attracting free agent point. However, there's one small disagreement I have is, I think Siakam's probably got 2, maybe 3 good years in him. Because I think he's getting to 29, 30, and it's with his play style, it is going to wear on his body. He does get, you know, minor injuries now and then. Fortunately, he hasn't really had too many serious injuries, but with how much we've run him into the ground in the past 3-4 seasons with the minutes he's played, that always catches up with players.
always, like, it doesn't matter what position you play, it always catches up. And I think we have to thank the lucky stars that he hasn't had these major injuries, which would affect his athleticism. And let's not get it wrong, his biggest asset is his frame and athleticism. He's developed so many other areas of his game, but I don't think he's the type, with his biggest strength being how effective he is in the open court. Of course, yeah, we can talk about his passing, his shooting, his shot creation. Like, he's developed all of these things, but fundamentally, it's his athleticism that is his biggest strength. He's one of the most athletic players in the league in terms of both his frame and what he's able to do physically. And so, yeah, I think for that reason, we need to get as much value out of him as possible. Fantastic if we get 3 or 4 first-round draft picks for him, and there are teams in the market for him. Let's not do what we did with Van Vliet and not get any picks for all-star players. Let's not do what we did with OG Anunoby, because, okay, we've got lucky with how quickly and Barrett have looked so far, but some of our listeners may remember that supposedly the Knicks offered 3 first-round picks for OG. I think it was either last season or the season before, in the off-season. So we've definitely still got short-changed for him, because Masai was, again, looking to try and half-compete. So let's not, because we've had like a stretch of good games, let's not forget where we are as a team. Let's get the most out of Siakam. You can even trade him for, yeah, 1 or 2 young players and not really get first-round picks. But my preference would be to get not future first-round picks, like 3-4 years down the line, because, of course, that doesn't line up with Scotty. But let's say next year or the year after, which, of course, those are the most valuable types of first-round picks. But let's try and get those for Siakam. And I think that makes the most sense. So I think, as listeners, you guys have probably heard two quite compelling arguments either way, and so really it's up for you to decide. But it's a very, very tricky question for Ujiri. Let's give him credit. It's not an easy option for him, I think.
Completely, and we know he can. We'll always kick this can down the road by offering that extension and then seeing kind of what happens in the summer or beyond. We know he isn't going to the Kings. We know the Warriors and the Pacers are interested, and we know, of course, the deadline is still a month away, so anything can happen. All we do know, though, is that in January, Siakam has been among the most efficient offensive players, something like 1.27 points per possession, averaging 26 points a game. It's awesome. Well, let's enjoy it while it lasts, perhaps, however long it does. I want to finish on a high note, and I want to finish on the fact that we talked about how the trades have, you know, allowed Gary Trent, Schroeder move to the bench and made that stronger. Of course, there was a big gaping hole, and there continues to be a gaping hole at center, specifically the backup center position behind Jakob Poeltl. Of course, Precious was traded, still having respiratory problems, and they don't really trust Boucher against bigger centers. In comes, of course, and I know Thad Young, of course, the legend Thad Young has started the last 2 games, but in has come as well Jonte Porter. Mm-hmm. Now, those of you who've read the excellent Sportsnet feature on him, or just know generally, he's Michael Porter Jr.'s brother. He almost quit playing a couple of years ago, but he's really fought his way back from a series of terrible, terrible injuries. And you know what? This guy looks like a baller, you know? I don't know what you think of him so far. Limited minutes, but I'm pretty happy.
He looks decent. At least he's got size.
So, and he has a 3.
He can handle himself in the pick and roll. In that Lakers game, whenever Porter wasn't on Davis, it would just be a pick and roll, and it's either Thad Young or it's either sometimes RJ Barrett onto the basket, sometimes it was Barnes. And Anthony Davis just absolutely demolished them. And when it was Porter, I don't actually think he necessarily matched up too many times with him. But at least he's size under the basket, and he's a young player. I don't know what you think, mate. I haven't seen enough to say, he's shown potential to be, you know, a very exciting young player in the league. But he's looked decent.
Yeah, he's been fine. And listen, you know, you talk about, I mean, you don't expect a guy who you just pick up on a two-way to like be matching up against Anthony Davis, right?
Yeah.
You just want, as we say, like, as we wanted from Precious and Malcolm, was someone who could kind of eat up 10, 15 minutes per game and just not be a total negative on the court. This is done, to be honest.
Yeah,
I mean, you're right. He's a pretty good all-round center. He's even taken a couple of threes so far, which I've really liked. Have a little bit of spacing on the bench. Yeah, I'm high on this guy going forward, and I'm going to link that Sportsnet article on our Twitter because it's a really good read into Jonte's journey, which perhaps is making me like him more than I should. You know, it's really, really inspirational. And while he probably won't reach the heights of his brother, like he can be a very serviceable bench player for this team. You know, eighth, ninth man.
As a last note, Kamel, I was going to propose this probably behind the scenes, but it's absolutely fine to do it here. But with OG now having left, would it be appropriate to give him a send-off where we, you know, we look at his career up to date? Because of course he's also a British basketball phenom as well. So I thought maybe it's not an inappropriate thing to do, just to kind of reflect on his career before the Raptors and obviously with the Raptors up to date.
Of course, let's do it. I mean, he is, of course, one of two British players in the league. Born and raised in London town. What do you know about OG's career? Because I can go beyond that, but what do you know about his college career?
I don't know too much both about his early and college career. So, you know, it'd be a passion project for myself, Kamel.
God damn. Well, all we do know right now is that the Knicks are on an absolute tear with OG in the lineup. Yeah. He's perfect. But you know what? That Halston boy, shout out Northwest London, Ogugu Anunoby, he is like, for what he's given us both when he was playing and the return he's given us, even as you say, it's not as good as it should have been. But, you know, we can give him a good send-off. And listeners can look forward to a bonus episode led by Vural, going through OG Anunoby's illustrious career so far. This has been Balling in the Six.
Thanks, everyone. Peace out. Enjoy the rest of your weeks. We'll probably catch you in, what, a week, 2 weeks' time? Something like that.
Don't promise too much. You know we can do it.
Oh, wow. See you. All right, take care, everyone.